Okay, our next speaker is Rita Laurie.
Oh, thank you. Hi, everybody. Oh, nice. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm going to talk today about, can health be a bridge to peace in the Israeli-Palestinian conflict? Oops. Maybe not. No financial relationships to disclose. I wanted to start with a map of Israel. This Israel is the size of New Jersey. How many people here have been to Israel? Oh, lots. Okay, good. And so here is Jerusalem. Here's Tel Aviv. Here's Gaza. Gaza is just a tiny little strip. And, you know, Gaza isn't Israeli controlled. It's Hamas governed. And here's the West Bank, which is mostly Palestinian. And you see the surrounding countries, Jordan, Egypt, Syria. Especially Syria today. Okay, so before we can have collaborations, we have to find common grounds. Here are some mutual concerns that the collaborations were based on. Emergency services, health of children, dental services, disability services, women's self-esteem, genetic research, less dependency on Israeli health facilities, including professional development and student collaborations. There is disparity, nobody's arguing that. According to the World Bank, only 44% of Palestinians have access to reasonable and customary health care. In terms of the World Health Organization, they report for Palestinian health, inadequate health care provisions along with improper preventative care and lifestyle choices contribute to the four basic causes of death within the region: cardiovascular disease, cancer, stroke, and diabetes, very similar to our own statistics. Among Palestinians aged 15 to 64, 58% of them are overweight, 36% have high cholesterol, and 8.5% have diabetes. Including additional contributors to poor health include large prevalence, 38% of men who spoke, and 75% of Palestinians who did not engage in any physical activities. In terms of Israeli Jewish health, the number one mortality rate was in cancer, men, tracheal cancer, lung cancer, colon cancer, and anal cancer. And for all of you who have been to Israel, you know how much everybody smokes there. Women, breast cancer and tracheal cancer, heart disease, stroke, respiratory diseases, and diabetes. Just back to smoking and cancer, in the Jewish population, 23% of men smoke and 15% of women smoke, but in the Arab population, half of the men smoke. Cancer rates for Jewish deaths were 25, a quarter of the Jewish deaths were cancer-related, and 19% were cancer-related. Now, it's so interesting because, you know, when your students, I teach, so I know a lot of you teach, and when you look at the statistics and the students come up with what we should do next, you know, it's based on the statistics. But really, in real life, it's based on what do the people say they need. So one of the major things that is needed in Israel is emergency services. And this, can you see that it's a motor scooter bike? So what happened was this guy, Eli Beer, and he was 18 years old. He started in the emergency services when he was 15, and he realized that he couldn't get there, you know, that the ambulances were bigger than the streets, where the traffic was making it impossible to get there. And he thought his little motor scooter could get there faster. So through relationships that he had, you know, social capital, he got the money to equip the AmbuBikes. They're called AmbuCycles. So they're everything but the stretcher. He started that about 20 years ago, and now in 2007, one of the Arab nurses that works at Hadassah came to him. His father had been saved by an AmbuCycle and said, is it possible to have these AmbuCycles in the Arab nations? And Eli Beer, he's so cute, he's the one on the far right. He looks like a teddy bear. And so he said, why not? So they started training Arab citizens also in emergency medical training, and they have the highest caliber training. And they started an Arab division, and now they're co-directors, and they won this Peace Prize, the Goldberg Peace Prize. And the man next to Eli Beer, I guess at this point, is Victor Goldman. And he started this Peace Award because he's a Holocaust survivor, and when he came to Israel, he thought it was going to be like a land of milk and honey. And then he felt all the strife, and he said, we should really try to promote things that are working in this environment between Arabs and Israelis. And so in 2013, Eli Baer and Mohad won the award, and he's a nurse. Did I mention that? We met him when we were in Israel. Very cool guy. So, that's cool. There were a lot of, I just need some water. There were a lot of genetic breakthroughs going on. I think a lot of you know that in the Arab nations and also in the Orthodox Israeli nation, that there's a lot of intermarriage. People are marrying their cousins. They don't even know they're their cousins. But because of that, there's a lot of genetic problems. So in Ben-Gurion University and the researchers from Saudi Arabia and Kuwait are working together to identify defective genes for rare and fatal disease in the Arab children. There was a group from Canada that started in 1995. An ENT physician was approached by the late King Hussein of Jordan to help bring Arabs and Israelis together in the public health sector. And he realized one of the big needs was this hearing loss, a genetic hearing loss. So by bringing everybody together, he's called it the Made in Canada solution. And they describe it as contributing to the stability and peace building in a region by sponsoring medical, scientific, and educational interactions. And one of their offshoots from the research is this whole group of children with hearing loss. And I don't know if the picture isn't that clear, but you know it's the sign for love. And I thought that was so cool because who knew it was international? So it's called MIHA, and it's the association that's brokering research and representatives from the Israeli, Jordanian, and Palestinian nations, along with medical students and academic establishments. And they also have nurses, audiologists, educators, and therapists, and support people working together across the nations. Also, causes of deafness, teams at Bethlehem and Tel Aviv University are working together to figure out some of the genetic causes of deafness. This is a quote by one of the professors saying, "Something clicked between me and my Palestinian counterpart. Our common scientific interest in fact that we both believe in peace and in peace in building a future together." So it gives you some hope. Something interesting, the Arab Bone Marrow Center is housed in Hadassah Hospital in Jerusalem. And what happened was that one of the physicians realized that we were having so much bone marrow banks for Israelis, but there was hardly any for the Arabs. So she, being an Israeli Arab, launched the Hadassah Medical Center's Arab Bone Marrow Registry. And it was hard to get people to donate their genetic materials. I think they were doing mostly blood in the early days. Now they're doing swabs. But they had to have a lot of outreach. And now they've matched 105 Arab donors and Arab and non-Arab patients in Israel and abroad. And 22 of these potential donors saved the lives of both local and international Arabs. Cystic fibrosis. Cystic fibrosis is another genetic problem. And over the last 10 years, Eitan Karen, who's now the head of pediatrics at Hadassah, has worked with a Palestinian physician in a village to create the culture of genetic testing. And and another time they had to go into the villages and talk to people about trying to get tested. But through this, they're able to determine, same with Tay-Sachs, you know how Tay-Sachs is practically eradicated now through genetic testing. And how do they do it? Because, you know, there's a lot of matchmaking going on. So this is how they do it in New York. Just backtrack. If you are getting married and you go for Tay-Sachs testing, you get a number 8. And you're going to marry number 42. And you call a number, a 1-800 number, and you say, "Number 8, marrying 42. And they said, "Don't do it." And you know, so that your chance. They say, "Don't do it. Don't get married." Then you know that there's a high chance of having a Tay-Sachs child. So they're trying to establish the same kind of culture here in Israel. Here's another collaboration. It's about women with disabilities. So these are Arab women and Israeli women who are working together as sort of support groups. It's called Head to Toe, a joint project for Arab and Jewish women with disabilities. Head to Toe empowers women with disabilities by giving them tools for greater responsibility of their bodies and health. And you know, being disabled sometimes has overwhelming negative body images, and it often leads to neglect, that's what they say, or of self-care. And their numbers are 63,000. face even greater challenges to actualizing their health rights. And in small villages, sometimes people who are disabled are shunned. So this is giving them better quality of life. Building dental bridges to peace. So I just realized when I was putting this together what a pun that was. Dental bridges. So, thank you. So on the left, this is a bad picture, but that's one of our members of our APHA, Bruce Dunoff. He's the dean at Harvard Dental. And he put together this collaborative to help build dental bridges between the Palestinian Dental School, which is pretty new, and the Israeli Hadassah Hebrew University Dental School. And they meet every 2 months to go over scholarly articles, do research together, cross-cultural understanding, and it leads to peace. This is IPSI. This is Israeli-Palestinian Cooperation for Economic Expansion. The person on the, here, this guy, Robert Zwang, just a guy from Connecticut. And like you and me, he went to Israel, he saw the disparities, he said there's not enough resources in Palestine. If it's ever going to become an independent state, then it needs to have more resources. So he formed this economic cooperation, and just this one guy, you met him, you wouldn't think he was anything important. And he putting together all these cooperatives. So he has a lot of Palestinian doctors coming over to Israel to do trauma surgery at Hadassah, along with the residents at Hadassah. So people are working together, and if there's anything more, people who love trauma surgery, they're in it together. So he's building all these partnerships and technical and health related. This woman, I'm so glad I have her picture. This is Dalia Bassa. She is amazing. She's not a nurse, but she should have been. She works for the Ministry of Health. She's the director of cooperative services between Palestine and Israel. If a Palestinian child needs care, or anybody in Palestine needs care, that needs to come over to a Hadassah hospital, because remember at the beginning we said there aren't the right resources in Palestine, she makes it happen. She's just a regular person, but she has all these contacts. And we met her several times. And when she was there, we said, well, how do you do it? She said, well, people just know that I can do it. So they said, somebody needs help, call Dalia. Somebody needs help, call Dalia. And she gets the Palestinian Authority to sign the okay for people to come over the border. And not just come over the border and wait in line. She gets an ambulance service to pick them up, to come, to have them transferred to the other ambulance, to come to the hospital. So between 120,000 and 150,000 Palestinian residents are treated in Israeli hospitals every year. So that's an enormous amount. And it's a financial burden for the Israeli hospitals. I don't know if you know, but Hadassah Hospital is in bankruptcy. So that's not good. But yet they don't turn away anybody for care. It's possible for the Palestinian government to pay for care, and often they do, but not always. So what they're trying to do is build the capacity in the Palestinian hospitals to be able to treat their own patients. And not only for the technical training, but the technology itself, to have those kinds of operating rooms, the most modern operating rooms, the most modern technology. And just one man is doing that. This is his Israeli-Palestinian cooperation. This is another project. It's improving Palestinian health, Project Rosanna. Rosanna is a young Palestinian girl whose story just struck a note in Australia. Her story was written up in an Australian newspaper, and a group of people from Australia got together and formed an association to provide pediatric intensive care at Hadassah to Palestinian children with acute medical needs for right now, and then also to train Palestinian doctors from the West Bank and Gaza in pediatric specialties. These are some student collaborations. These are two students in the master's program at Hadassah Hebrew University in the School of Nursing, master's students. And they work together in a project for pediatric pain research, cultural parental pain management. And so our Arab student over there, Mahmoud, Mahmoud and Ori worked together, and Mahmoud was saying that his input into the questionnaire was instrumental. Okay, moment's finished. This is my last slide. The Hebrew University School of Nursing. These are undergraduate students. They are so cute. And when they were freshmen, they said when they're freshmen in the classroom, they have frontal focus. In other words, there's no interaction. They all sit and they take notes. And by the time they were seniors and they were working together in the clinical areas, the Israeli and the Arab students were getting along great. And they said, we should try to make this happen earlier on. So they started something. Three Israeli students and three Arab students started something called Open Classroom. And so they figured, what could be the needs of the students that would make them come together? And they started a skills lab. They started tutoring. Then they all started working together, and everybody was having such a good time. They went to a music festival. And then two of the students volunteered in a special Hadassah project in Ethiopia, working with orphans in an AIDS clinic. And so they're trying to raise money now to get the whole group, 27 people, to go on this trip together. So I think because the students realize that we need to collaborate early on, and the adults are all realizing we need to collaborate early on, that there might be some hope. And I have some music. See if this works. I'd be so impressed with myself. Nope. Good try, though. Give peace a chance, Beatles. Okay. Thank you.